Well, good morning from Bethel, and I would like you to please open to the gospel lesson this morning, please. If you have pencils or pens, you want to circle things or write in it, this is your bulletin, and hopefully it's helpful for you. So the story that we had read is one of those stories that's well known. We've known it since we've been little kids. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector in Jericho, and Jericho is a very wealthy city in first century Judea. For those who are with the Sunday school, how many guys went to Sunday school? How many went to Vacation Bible School? How many taught at Vacation Bible School? Okay, so you know the story, and you know when you hear the word tax collector, you know they're bad people, right? Bad people. They're just bad people. They are people that were collaborators with the Roman conquerors. They collected taxes by tax farming. Tax farming is the ingenious tool that the Romans used to both collect taxes and to turn the indigenous, the native people, against each other. It's essentially this is a series of contractors and subcontractors who had to collect money in the area that they knew well. The tax collectors had their finger on their neighborhood, the pulse of the business there. They knew what people did for a living. They knew who their relatives were. And they knew how much you could squeeze out of the population. And they did it so well that the Romans were happy. So Zacchaeus is a chief tax collector, which means he had subcontractors working under him. So I'd like you to appreciate that being a tax farmer is not an easy job. You have to be rich. You have to bid as high as you can to get the place where you're going to collect taxes. But you can't bid too much, because if you bid too much, you're not going to get a return, and you're going to have to pay the rest out of your own pocket, and that's not good business, is it? No. So you know the story. The Zacchaeus story is very straightforward. It's still very challenging. But what you have here in your gospel lesson in Luke 19 is a sycamore tree moment. It's a God moment for Zacchaeus. For some reason that day, or during the weeks before, God the Holy Spirit had been talking to Zacchaeus. He'd been working on his heart. He had heard that this man who was a friend of tax collectors was coming by in Jericho. So that day, for some reason, probably the prompting of God himself, He climbed up into a tree, and I'm sure the people around him made fun of him. After all, he was a tax farmer. They called him names, probably made fun of him. And as Jesus walks by, he invites himself to his house. So, since four of you raised your hand, you went to Sunday school, we're going to sing that song that we had to when we were a little kid. Are you ready? I'm going to lead, and I don't sing very well, so let's go for it. So, 1, 2, 3. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree. The Lord he wanted to see. And as the Lord was passing that way, he looked and said, "Zacchaeus, you come down. I'm going to your house today." Thank you so much for indulging an old man up here to do this. I know it's a children's song. It's kind of like when your mother used to put her finger on her tongue and wipe that stuff off your chin, and you're 30. Mom! So, gee, I don't like doing this, but I appreciate you indulging me. So, I'd like you to take a step back. This is a little ADHD moment. Anybody watch the Ryder Cup yesterday? The American fans were embarrassing. They cussed and sweared at Rory. For some reason, people nowadays just have this great thought pattern. They have a right to be rude and cruel to anyone. And yesterday was very embarrassing. So when the people saw, it's not new, because when the people saw that Jesus was going to go and spend time with this tax farmer, he's going to be the guest of a sinner, they were mad. It was unbelievable. And the reactions was like watching a TikTok video where people just respond extraordinarily aggressively. Now, this is the catchy part of the story. Many of us like this great story because, you know, here's Jesus. He's loving everyone. He even loves sinners because he loves me. And isn't that great? But we forget that also there's a part of this that, where do you find yourself here? Are you finding the part of the crowd? Not being generous to Zacchaeus and in the Jesus event? Or do you find yourself being the same as Jesus? Reminds me of the story of the fox and the grapes. You know, the fox and the grapes. The fox tries to get a bunch of grapes. They're too tall. He can't get them. And so after he fails, he walks away thinking, devaluing. So they probably didn't taste very good anyway. That's where we get the psychological term sour grapes from. So Zacchaeus is a great children's story. But when it comes to living onward, it is also a very grown-up story. And a part of the story we would often like to ignore when it comes to when Jesus has a sycamore moment with someone we least expected to and be happy for them. Instead of having sour grapes, oh, they're probably just doing this for this and this and this reason, be happy for them. Heaven is celebrating. I don't know how many of you have ever been told that there's no way I could possibly go to a church because of all the things that I've done or the way many years I've been away. There's no way. So here's the first meat part of the story. First lesson of the story is this, that Jesus meets us where we are, not where we should be. Okay? We come to the second part of the story, which is we don't have a song for this part of the story. There's probably a reason for that. And Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, Lord, behold, I'm going to give half of my goods, give it to the poor. If I have defrauded anyone, anything, I will restore it fourfold. Now, we don't really know what happened. We can only presume what happened. Jesus is at Zacchaeus' house. They're talking with each other. They're having a great conversation. There's no judgment going on here. They're just talking to each other. Two people, two Jews, just talking to each other. We don't know all that happened. We do know that it moved Zacchaeus to do something very incredible. To stop from being just a businessman to be a caring human being, and it changed. He went to being a very generous person. Again, even though this is a children's story, it has a great grown-up meaning to it. Again, how many of us have ever gone to a wedding rehearsal or a funeral, and you just watch the people loiter out in the narthex or the lobby or the foyer, whatever you want to call it, and they come into church and they sit in the way back because I can't get too close to God. I might get zapped. I'm embarrassed. I'm hurt. Forgetting that God or Jesus does not meet you where you should be. He meets you where you are with his grace and his love. See, Zacchaeus still mattered to Jesus. And this is not just about money. It's about our demeanor with people. And as we continue to watch a lack of generosity with people, whether you're driving, whether you're at a store, whether you're at a restaurant, a lack of generosity we have, where we sometimes see ourselves as kind of self-righteous, mumbling at the opportunities God has given to other people like Zacchaeus. It keeps them on the margins of our life, where grace and love and mercy truly transforms people into being generous people with their attitude and their care for other people. Lack of generosity in people's lives is the exact opposite of who Jesus' people are. We, the baptized, the children of God, are to be generous with our attitudes toward other people, aren't we? Give each other a break, right? That's our task. The joyful reaction that should be, hey, Zacchaeus is going to be talked to with Jesus. Isn't that great news? No, it was, a very angry crowd. When we are empowered by generosity, I'm not talking about money here. I'm talking about just the way we view people. When we are empowered with generosity, God's Spirit has an opportunity to move in us and use us as His people. In a humble, not self-defeated way, but as a caring group of people. When we know that we are a forgiven group of people, it is amazing what God can do. So, for Stu Smithgall, I don't know if you know Stu Smithgall. Anybody know Stu Smithgall? He's a farmer? East of here? No? Okay. His sycamore moment came in Vietnam when a mortar didn't hit his foxhole, but the one next to him. There's a man named Brad Coulter, who I knew in Nebraska. He survived a plane crash, walked away from a twin-engine plane crash. And that moved him to be extraordinarily generous with his life. It even strengthened him to get through Parkinson's that would later take his life. Sycamore moments, God moments, can change us. Zacchaeus was changed by his moment with Jesus. What has been your sycamore or God moment in your life? Do you know it? It might be sometimes where something great has happened to you or something horrible happened to you, but you got through it by God's grace and God's people. It came about because, and when it happens to us when we get through it, it moves our heart to be generous people with everyone else, to celebrate what God is doing in our life. Jesus of Nazareth is to seek everyone. He died for everyone. He was resurrected for everyone. He individually wants to give you a God moment, or at least one, if not 5 or 10 or 15. So I'm going to encourage you today to please just identify your sycamore tree moment. When has God shown up in your life? What happened? Have you ever shared that with anybody? If not, have you ever journaled it? That you could go back in your prayer journal and your prayer life and say, wow, yeah, God is still active in my life. He is still real. Again, as I said, for Brad Coulter, it was a time when he survived a plane crash. To learn to be generous with ourselves first. To learn to be generous with others second. To give someone else a break comes from having those sycamore tree God moments. When you give yourself a break, yeah, I made a mistake, I am forgiven. And every time I am reminded that I made a mistake, we are to remind ourselves, God told me personally, I am forgiven. That means the person that I live with or I'm with, when they make a mistake, they're forgiven. Maybe the person down the street, they're forgiven. It might be maybe a death of a loved one. It might be the birth of a loved one. But generosity comes from grace. It comes from knowing that you are a graced human being. In good times and in bad times, you have been graced and are a graced person. Generosity is not how much money you give. It's about how open your heart is. So can you describe that moment when God opened your heart to receive Him as Savior and Lord and King? Have you told anyone about that moment when God showed up in your life and you said, whoa? It doesn't have to be some incredible thing, but please don't relegate that moment to 6 or 7. You have any idea what you just said? No. Do you know what 6 and 7 means? It means we have no idea. It's no big deal, right? And you get a bunch of high school kids, you go up to 6 or 7, they're laughing. And what's laughing about? I don't know. See, like three people understand. Ask a kid today what 6 and 7 means, okay? It doesn't matter. Who knows? No big deal. Don't let your God moment be that. Don't let your God moment just become one of those, oh, whatever. The cure for living with sour grapes is to identify and remember that God is moving in your life, and to remember when God did it for you and when God did it for you the last time. Was it the last time you survived a car accident you avoided a car accident? When was it that you can look at your Lord and say, Thank you for this sycamore moment where sitting down and talking to me and telling me once again, I am meaningful. I am important. I'm loved. So much so that I want other people to know they're meaningful and they're loved. That's being generous. In the name of Jesus, amen.